everyone, welcome to Total Rally. Do you know what, every now and again you get to do a programme and you get really excited and you've been excited all day. It's a bit like a kid at Christmas. Well, that's me tonight for Total Rally. What a mega show we've got lined up for you. We're going to have Chris Meek joining us very, very shortly. We're going to have guest host Ryan Champion also, who's joining us on the line. We're going to put him up in a minute. We're going to have Paul Nagle. We're going to have Elvin Evans. We're going to have the people behind the Dirt Game. It's just going to be just an epic Total Rally. There's no show without Punch, I've said this before, but welcome back to Total Rally, Ryan Champion.
Thank you very much, nice to be here again, particularly tonight.
And what an epic show, by the way, what an absolute epic show. I've just done a few little bits and pieces, and I've just looked at an entry list going back some 13 years, and it's a tenuous link, I realise that, but there's Paul Nagle on that entry list, co-driving, there's Chris Meek, in a Puma Super 1600, and there's even little old me. But there's not you. It was the Pirelli 2002. Did you not do that?
I was doing the Puma Championship, and we did the Pirelli National Rally.
Okay. I was just about to say, you're going to be the odd man out tonight.
No, I was there.
Okay, that's all right. Sorry, I take it back then. You were nearly going to be the odd man out, and it's not very often I can actually one-up you, and you've just kind of just shot me down in flames, so I'll just wind my neck in. But there you go. Anyway, listen, welcome back. It's going to be a mega pack show, and I think we're going to probably grab Chris, but there's a few bits and pieces obviously that happened over the weekend news wise so if you want to crack on with that, I'm going to grab Chris, and we'll be back with the winner of Rally Argentina very shortly.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the big news story is that Chris Meek took his first World Championship victory, and it's something that I think all us British fans have been desperate to see for so long. And Chris has been showing the speed over the last 2 years, as once it's been part of the full Citroën World Rally team. The speed has not been in question. We've all just been waiting to see that first win, and thankfully, I think we were all on the edge of our seats all weekend, but he took that first win. And not only did Chris take his first win, we also had Elvin achieve his first podium as well. So fantastic weekend.
It was just mega, wasn't it? I was just about to say, sorry to cut across, but I was watching on WRC Plus, which is a great app. You know, I've got no problem with that at all. But me and Heather were out watching. We went out for lunch, and we set it up on the phone, and we sat and had lunch and just staring at my phone. I think the other diners must have thought we were a little bit odd, but I got so involved. It was like watching a football match. I was just shouting, and I'm sure I wasn't the only one just trying to encourage and everything else. But it was just mega.
It was an incredible weekend for us, and desperately what we need for the sport in the UK. We all know that the sport's taken a little bit of a kick in, it's fair to say, over the last couple of years. You know, we've not had the following that we want from the media, but this is exactly what we need to get everybody excited about rallying again.
Oh, and I think we are going to get people excited again, because we're now going to have Chris Meek joining us on the other line if any second now. And welcome to Total Rally, Chris Meek.
Hello
Chris, can you hear us?
Yes, I can indeed.
Well, welcome to Total Rally. Thank you so much for joining us. I know you're probably, I don't suppose you're probably tired of talking about this just yet, but you must have answered a lot of the same questions, so we'll try and mix it up again for you tonight.
No problem at all.
So our guest host is Ryan Champion. I think you know Ryan a little bit, and Ryan has been swatting up, and he's got a few bits and pieces he wants to ask you about from Rally Argentina.
it's fair to say Chris and I go back a little while, and I was going to take you back a little bit first of all, Chris. I mean, it's 15 years since you did your first event, the Bulldog in a 106, a prize drive from Peugeot. How does it feel to finally achieve your dream of winning a World Championship rally?
Yeah, what I say, I've known you, Ryan, since back maybe even before then, but it's crazy to think that's 15 years ago.
Yes.
It's completely mad, but way back from winning the Peugeot competition and getting the drive on the Bulldog Rally in 2000 was... That back then, I remember doing that competition. I set my target as, you know, at least if I could win this competition, it would get me one foothold in the ladder, you know, and everything was the goalposts, and every time you achieve something, the goalposts kept moving. And I don't know whether I'm just that type of person, you know, you're never really going to be satisfied until you fight your way right the way through, you know, and it's probably something that's kept me going all these years.
Yeah, and I think it's it's fair to say you've had more than your share of setbacks, and I don't think I know of anybody in rallying who's come back more times stronger and fitter than you have. You know, you've always found a way back into the sport, either with a Super 1600 car or a World Rally car. You've just never given in. You've always managed to find a way back again.
Yeah, I suppose a bit of my character, but, you know, probably a few of the setbacks have been, you know, partly of my own making, you know, I'm not denying that. But, you know, the desire's always been there. Certainly there has been times along the way where, you know, it's been, you haven't seen much light at the end of the tunnel. I definitely thought, you know, I'm going to have to seriously think about getting a proper job and trying to, you know, you haven't to forget about it, but it's in this game, you know, one phone call can change everything, and I never stopped working, never stopped, you know, trying to network and keep my connections with people that I knew over the years, and it's been a long road, but as I say, with the opportunity now at World Championship level, I've achieved my first victory, and I'm like a way back in the 106 days. The goalposts will all now move again, you know, that's certainly... you know, I don't believe, you know, I've reached my ambition. My ambition is still to be world champion, but I say this is just another step along the way.
Yeah, and certainly a huge step in the right direction. I mean, you talked about changing your approach a little bit. So obviously you've had a difficult start to the year, and you changed your approach a little bit for this one. What did you do different for Argentina that you looked at previously?
Probably tried not to think about it as much. You know, pressure can creep up on you unknowingly, you know, and you can imagine you're not under pressure, but it's there and it's affecting your driving. And probably at the beginning of this year, you know, I always maintained a driver needs two seasons in the World Championship before you can properly judge whether, you know, you can go onwards and upwards. And, you know, I knew this year, starting it was my second season, and probably unwillingly I was putting myself under pressure to say, right, this is second year, you better make it count. And you know, on Monty, we were having a good run, fell foul of the conditions, which is easy done Monty, but we did fall the wrong side of it. Sweden, we went second time on snow, and you know, we were bang on the pace at the beginning, setting top three times and a couple of fastest times, but then I dropped into the snowbank, and in Sweden you can be in a snowbank for 10 seconds or 10 minutes, and you know, unfortunately I was in it for three, which took the shine off a really good result. And that put pressure on for Mexico, and I spectacularly dropped the ball in Mexico after setting one fastest time. So we were in a big hole, and I really had to look at everything I was doing and try and find a way out of it. But I think the 6 week break between the two rallies really helped me just to get away and to not think about it as why I have to make it count. Just get back to basics and try and you know, remember back to possibly my days in the IRC, you know, 2009, where I went into the championship, I didn't know any of the rallies, and we went in and with a clear head, and we managed to win three out of the first four events. So trying to just get back to basics, I think. And Argentina, the route this year was 70% new, 70% different than last year, so a lot of people were starting with a blank pace notebook, and I was one of those, and I think that helped me to a certain degree as well, you know, to turn up and just keep it simple. So this time it certainly worked, and you know, hopefully everyone has their own way to work, and hopefully I've, you know, just trying to find my feet and try and find my own way to work at this level.
And it worked in spectacular fashion, so much so that the first proper stage of the rally, you were fastest by over 30 seconds. I mean, I guess that must have been a little bit of a surprise, nonetheless.
It was a huge surprise. I remember, you know, in the stage, there was a water splash after 1 kilometre of the 52 Ks of Ascachinga. It was a monster stage to start the rally. And after 1K, I got a warning light in the car, and the fact that the hydraulics and the handbrake stopped working. And then Ascachinga stage, through the middle section, there was a series of really acute hairpins, left and right, uphill, downhill, and I knew straight away that handbrake wasn't working, and I was prepared that, okay, this is going to be either spectacular at these hairpins, and I have to try and keep it all tidy. And I had to arrive at some hairpins at some rather weird angles to get around them, but I did say at the finish line I had to learn how to drive like a Scandinavian, but yeah, we had that little glitch, but I think others had bigger problems. In saying that, Yari Matty, previous winner of the event, you know, I fully expected him to be favourite in the weekend, and he went through the stage with no problems. I mean, you know, he's plus 34 to me, so I think a little bit of it on an event that's as rough as that, you have to choose a pace that you think is going to be sustainable and just stick with it. And this year with no split times, it didn't give anybody a chance to react. If I chose a pace that was just half a second decay quicker than anybody else, they couldn't react, and, you know, until you see the finish time. When you're 52 Ks, all of a sudden you can pull a big gap. So I think all in all that had a part to play. But yeah, it was very, very surprising for me to be that much faster than anybody else in the first stage.
And then so it continued. Then you had quite a large gap to manage. And as we talked about briefly before, sometimes it's easier to be in a battle, but you had to manage that lead all through the rally. And you had your fair share of problems going through the rally as well.
Yeah, stage number three, directly after the long one where we set the good time, I had a puncture and I dropped 18 to Yari. And all of a sudden, he's back within 15 seconds. Second run through Askachinga, 52K, I knew Yari were going to charge, but I just picked the rhythm again, and we took 12 back again, and the lead was out to 30. Then Yari had his problems. And at the end of the day, it was in second, I think, all the maps, and then at 20 up in Yari. And then you start to think, right, okay, this position I've never been in before. How do we manage it? And I was prepared to take my time on the first two stages the next morning to check my pace notes and not to make any sort of mistakes when I had that big a gap. So, but then again, the issue of split times comes into it again. It's difficult to manage your pace when you don't have those split times. And then in the long stage on day two, the 42K or the first run through it, I think I dropped 25 seconds just because I decided to take it careful and check my notes. Yes, I had a minute in my pocket, but all of a sudden your lead's cut to 35 seconds. And that then you say, right, you know, now we have to recollect. But I always had that confidence in my pace, knowing that we could handle it with even 30 seconds. And on the second run through that long, and I was able to go quicker than Mads and extend my gap. So it was very much, you know, cat and mouse about playing with your speed. And I think in some respects, as you say, that's maybe harder to do. It's a harder thing to do than just to go out and purely fight with guys tooth and nail, stage for stage. If it's like that, you've nothing else to do. You set everything you have in the ring and you know, hope it works out in the end. We're playing a tactical game and judging your pace, especially the very long stages and those split times. It's a hard thing to do, but yeah, thankfully this weekend I was able to manage.
Well, you did it and did it fantastically well, and you've obviously had the confidence that the speed has been there over the last couple of years, but now you've got the first win. Does it change your approach going forward over the rest of the year, or will you still approach the events in a similar manner, and do you have particular events you're going to focus on?
I don't think so. I've sort of learned that you can never really set yourself a target, and I think, you know, specifically Argentina and myself, I came off the back of three poor results. I simply had the objective of going to Argentina and getting through a rally with making no mistakes, and there all of a sudden your first win came out of not trying. I think that's probably a key for me. Many times in the past, and many times, you know, I've tried too hard, and it's that also puts pressure on yourself. So yeah, maybe the key is not to set any target and just to try to concentrate on the process and drive clear and clean and see what occurs at the end. You know, the same approach that certainly might work with the free. If I can clean, consistent finishes, that's how you build up a strong championship year. And certainly, at the minute, I don't think I'm strong enough over a full season or having the experience to fight for the championship, certainly this year. But, you know, if I can continue the same process as Argentina, you know, why can't we start to build on something and hopefully we can see something works? But I know in this game, very quickly, you're only as good as your last result. And certainly, if things start to go wrong again, people say it was a flash in the pan. So it's it remains to be seen if there's a head on a process that works, you know.
Well, it's still fantastic for the sport in this country, and you know, you've really lit the flame again for rallying. I see Autosport's turned green for you tomorrow, which is a fantastic thing to see. Tony, any questions from Twitter?
We have got a few bits and pieces coming. Just one personal question for me, Chris. Is it shocked you, the reaction following the win? But I don't know. Is it really kind of sunk in?
I'll be honest with you, I lost my phone on the aftermath.
I won't ask any more.
I only got home yesterday evening. It's a long journey home from Argentina, and honestly, a new phone this morning and set back up again. But it's just been mind blowing, and the support and the reaction it's had. You know, I think partly that is down to Richard and Colin's success years ago, when everyone was used to it for a few years, and when that's not there, people, you know, they crave it, and when you crave it for 13 years, possibly when someone gets a result, it's such a huge relief for the sport and everyone involved with it. And I'm just very fortunate to be the one that's been able to bring it, and you know, I've got the opportunity to do that. But yeah, it has been mind-blowing, the reaction and the support. But certainly I have to thank so many people and everybody for that support, and it's great for British rally fans. But you know, I say I certainly want to, for this to be just the beginning. You know, I don't want it to be a flash in the pan, and I'll definitely try my best and make sure that's the case. So it's just great to see British rallying back on the map, and you know, that's not only me, Elton Evans coming in and you know, fantastic podium in the second time in Argentina. It was brilliant to see two Union Jacks on the podium. It's something that hasn't been seen, I think, since 2000 or 2001 maybe. And just surreal experience, and you know, just brilliant to see.
Just a quick question from Twitter, because you've kind of covered. Thanks so much to all the different people who've tweeted in, by the way. We do really appreciate it. But one of the guys over in the States who follows the program quite regularly, Mike Shaw, is asking the question: what was the first thing that went through your mind as you went through? Because obviously, I was watching it live, and I got involved. I was screaming at the screen and everything. But Paul had the finish marked in the notes. So when you heard finish, what went through your mind?
Funnily enough, in the stage, I was completely focused. And, you know, as the event got on in the latter stages, especially the final day, El Condor, two runs, I seemed to have more focus then than I did throughout the whole event. You know, as they get very near the crash time, I seemed to be able to focus more and more. And you know, that's an element that I was going to play. But, and even right up to the finish line, I remember seeing the yellow boards in El Condor, and I could see the red boards in the distance, and I knew I was going to reach over and shake Paul's hand, but I said, I'll just wait till the red boards. And as soon as we went past the red boards, obviously there was a great sense of elation, and I can't remember what I'd done. I punched the air and what have you. But when you get out of the car, it was a huge, huge relief. And, you know, I came down off the roof of the car, and finally, my emotions were pretty much in check. Yes, the elation was there, but it's only when Julian Porter looked me in the eye and asked me a question, and I could see a tear coming down his cheek, and I thought, geez, this is, you know, that's when it sort of opened the floodgates a bit more for me, you know, and I had no shame in admitting that there was a tear or two, and certainly it definitely ramped up the emotions to think back of all the people that have helped me over the years, all the people that have helped create an opportunity for me, and, you know, it was a very natural thing for me to do, to dedicate it to Colin, because, you know, certainly he's the one who gave me the biggest break in my career. Without him, I wouldn't even have went far in the sport at all. So, yeah, that was a natural thing to do for me. But yeah, the flood of emotions came then, and you know, even yet, there's still so many people out there that helped me along the way. You know, so it was elation followed by fairly strong emotion, and that carried through into. was a party that night, I can tell you.
we can well imagine. Chris, listen, we've took up enough of your time. I know you haven't stopped since you got back, and we really, really, truly appreciate you joining us on Total Rally tonight. Thank you so much, and hopefully we can have these conversations on a slightly more regular basis when you've come back from winning an event. And as I say, from all the Total Rally, we're completely behind you, and it's to the next one.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Take care. You. Thanks, Chris.
Good to speak to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
How good was that, Ryan?
Well, it's great, isn't it, to have a real insight, you know, and I think Chris certainly opened up his whole rally and his whole experience to us, and we can really get a feel for just what a relief that was to finally put a result behind all that speed he's had over the last few years.
As I say, it's just one of those things that I know I spoke to him, and I know you spoke to him off air, and I know he's obviously he's done a lot of interviews, and he's had lots of conversations with lots of people, and as I say, I was really conscious of not making him go through the same questions over and over.
Yeah, absolutely, and he'll carry on to do a lot of interviews. He's been with the BBC, I know, in Northern Ireland today, and just picking up on what he said there, obviously he dedicated the win to his mentor, Colin McRae, who, you know, was certainly an inspiration to all of us within British rallying, and let's not forget that British fans can see Chris at the McRae Rally Challenge in a couple of weeks at Knockhill.
Of course, yeah, we were going to ask him about that, and my mistake, apologies, but I was just conscious of, I said we'd only have him for 5 minutes, and I looked at the clock and
we got our money's worth.
Absolutely. Listen, we're going to go to a quick break, and then we're going to come back with I told you we had another podium as well. We had Elvin Evans, so we're going to have Elvin Evans join us after this break.
Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate, we can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic touring events, we take away the hassle of travel. With bikes, cars, trailers and trucks, accompanied or unaccompanied. Team Coordinate. Call Dane or Donna now on 44 1904 766787 or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com.
Welcome back to Total Rally. It's always a busy one with Total Rally, and as I say, we are going to be joined by Elvin Evans any second now, all being well. He was going to be travelling tonight, so we're hoping he's going to pick up and join us. As I say, a fantastic result as well, obviously. In some ways, probably Chris winning it took a little bit of publicity away from Elvin, but it's not to be missed out on that. It was fantastic to have Elvin also on the podium. But joining us now, all being well, we're going to have Elvin Evans. Elvin Evans, welcome to Total Rally.
Thank you very much.
We've just had Chris Meek on. He's slowly but surely recovering from the party. How's your recovery from the party?
My recovery's all right, because I didn't go out. I've got a race for life in Silverstone with Red Bull on Sunday, so I needed to make sure that I was still fresh enough to run there, so I stayed off the gear myself.
That's a fantastic dedication. Listen, we just want to take you back to really, I don't want to go all the way back to the beginning, but you're a man that, obviously, I followed your career from... all the way back to a 1 litre Nissan Micra. I remember you doing junior rally and everything else, and I don't know whether we've just asked Chris a lot of similar questions, but when you were standing on that podium for the first time in a WRC event, do you have a flashback to those moments where, you know, you were doing local national events and a little Micra and things like that? Does it really kind of sink in just how far you've come in that period of time?
I don't know. I don't think it's something that you think about a lot, to be honest. I think, you know, it's still, I think you think more about everybody that's given you the opportunity to come this far, I think is the main thing, you know. There's been so many people in my career that's, you know, made it possible to come this far, you know, without them people, and it's sort of them people who sort of reflect and appreciate, you know, when you sit up there, I think.
Is it feel like home now? I know it might sound like an odd question, but does it feel like you belong now you've got that podium under your belt and you're very much part of the obviously the M Sport effort, but do you feel like you've arrived now? You're a bona fide WRC driver?
Yeah, to an extent. I think that's been growing over the last sort of 18 months or so, but definitely at the beginning of the year, I definitely didn't, you know, beginning of last year, I really felt out of place, if I'm honest, you know. But this year in 2016, obviously, I still feel very much at home at M Sport because I joined there at the beginning of 2013 with the R5 project. So within the team, I've always felt very comfortable. But, you know, just the environment of the WRC has taken a while to sink in, and you know, it's just because you've got such big names like joining Mikkel last year was a big deal, really, you know. So it's only now that it's really starting to make you feel like home and feel normal, I guess.
I have to ask, obviously, I come from a generation of remembering the old man. I don't remember the old man getting a top three finish in a WRC event. He achieved a hell of a lot in his career, but I don't think he ever achieved that feat. So does that even things out now in the household?
I guess it does to an extent, but to be honest, we'd already had the tag in when I finished fourth for the first time because we all managed the fifth. So I think he still wins the argument that I was a works driver for this many years. So I have to stick around for quite a lot longer to tick all the boxes in the household, let's say.
Listen, fair play. We've just been saying the same to Chris. Has it really kind of sank in just how big a deal this has become in the UK? Obviously, Chris getting the result was obviously, you know, the first win obviously since Colin McRae. But even, you know, the two of you on a podium, that's the first time two Brits have been on a podium for 14 years. That's you were beyond short trousers then. I think you were still in nappies, weren't you?
Probably not so far off anyway, but. Yeah, I mean, you have to look at it as a positive step rather than a big deal, really. You know, I think it's better to look at it in that way. And I think, you know, if you look at the effect of gentlemen racing in Formula One, what that did at that time when they were both fighting together, and, you know, hopefully then, you know, but if himself and Chris can keep pushing for good results, then that helps all the way through to grassroots, you know, and that's ultimately what it's all about. So yeah, hopefully it can help rekindle some interest back in the sport and strengthen it.
Fantastic. Well, we're all rooting for you, as we've just said to Chris. It's unfair for me to say that, but as a Brit, I have to say that. And it, you know, for me, I got excited. You know, I was saying to Chris, and I was watching on WRC Live, and I was watching, obviously, you going through as well. Now, I have to ask, what was going on in the last stage? I know you had some issues with the car, which meant you had to manage the situation. Can you just explain to us a little bit what was going on with the car?
Yeah, it was basically just a strange noise and a bit of a funny feeling that we had in the car about 4K from the end. And obviously I passed the area with Garth early in the stage, so I knew that basically the gap behind was massive. There was, you know, if it was student part of rally, we probably wouldn't have gone half that slow just because of the funny feeling and the noise. But, you know, because I had so much in hand, I didn't want to risk losing the position by making it worse. As it happens, I think it was a noise from a drive shaft, so it wouldn't have made any difference anyway. You know, the car would have got to the end no problem. But at the time, I obviously didn't know that, and we needed to make sure that we got the car to the end.
Fantastic. Listen, we've got a guest host tonight. We've got Ryan Champion, who's also joining us. I know Ryan wants to ask you a couple of things, so I'm going to pass you over to Ryan. Ryan?
Yeah, I just obviously you've achieved a fantastic podium result on one of the toughest rounds of the World Championship. How does this change things going forward? I mean, you must be looking forward to some of the more familiar WRC events that are coming up.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, there was some strong results on tarmac towards the end of last year as well. So we've got a new tarmac tyre coming as well, which I hope will suit me even better still. So, and obviously a new car coming again in Portugal. So there's a few exciting things happening.
obviously some of the rallies out, you know, Sardinia, Germany, those sorts of rallies where I've been a fair few times and starting to experience. And, you know, you feel comfortable and half know the stages, and that definitely does help. And, you know, hopefully towards the end of the year, you know, you can push for strong again.
Yeah, and just to bring that to life a little bit for maybe some of the listeners who haven't competed, it's difficult to really show your full speed when you've only been over the stages twice at really slow speeds, isn't it? You know, going back to these rallies year after year, you've got a lot more confidence in your pace notes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, okay, Argentina, there's a lot of new patients for everybody, so everybody was somewhat equal, because a lot of the roads haven't been used for many, many years. But, you know, when you go to a rally for the first or second time, and maybe the experienced boys have been on them roads eight or nine times, you know, that's 8 times they've wrecked them twice, and 8 times they've driven them twice. So, you know, you consider then they've had 32 passes over that stage. Well, you would then, over and above the video work and everything, know that stage pretty well. And it does definitely take 2 or 3 years to get to that stage where you are fully comfortable with the environment and the stage, and really get to know, like, to just get on the side of caution, maybe, where you can get away with pushing to the maximum. And it does take a while to just reach that level of confidence.
Well, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us tonight. I'm sure you've got a busy schedule over the coming days. Quite rightly, lots of interviews, I'm sure. But thanks for taking the time to talk to us on Total Rally.
That's all right, no problem, so. Cheers.
Thanks, Elvin. Have a good evening.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Bye-bye. And isn't it's kind of another one down, isn't it? And we've still got another WRC winner to go as well. We've still got Paul Nagel to join us very, very shortly. But before we go any further with that, we are going to have the man that's behind, you know, ironically, the McRae name's been mentioned already tonight, but one of the chief designers that was behind the Colin McRae game, and we're going to have him joining us very, very shortly. And we're going to go to a quick break, and we're going to come back with those guys as well.
Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate. We can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic touring events, we take away the hassle of travel with bikes, cars, trailers and trucks, accompanied or unaccompanied. Team Coordinate. Call Dane or Donna now on 44 1904 766 787, or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com.
Welcome back to Total Rally. As ever, it's always a busy one. I always say that because it is. It's a mega, mega show tonight. So, as I say, I think quite a lot of people were inspired to get into rallying from a certain generation by the Colin McRae Rally Games. That's, you know, everybody still remembers those games, and most people who play the games are still getting into the sport via the game method. But listen, I'm whittling on a little bit too much. We're gonna have Paul Coleman, who was the chief designer of the Colin McRae Rally Games and also the Dirt Games, and to tell us all about the new game that's just come out. Paul, welcome to Total Rally.
Hi, how you doing?
We're good. It's a mega busy show. I don't know whether, I hope you've been listening. Obviously, you're a rally fan. I'd like to think you have been listening, but we've gone from winners in Argentina to podium places in Argentina, and now to the man that's trying to breathing life back into a pure rally game. What? How did this come about, Paul?
So, it's probably best to start with the beginning. So I got into games because I was always interested in cars. I wanted to be a car designer, and then went to university and found that I wasn't really good enough at maths to do the engineering side of that, but found out that a company called Codemasters were just down the road making an incredible game called Colin McRae Rally. So I sort of took a bit of a diversion in my career path and found my way into working as a games tester at Codemasters, and then over the last decade, pretty much, a bit more now, 12 years, I've been working my way into design and then onto leading what used to be Colin McRae Rally and is now the Dirt franchise. So Dirt 3 was the last big sort of console title that we worked on, but just as we were rounding up the development of that in 2011, a guy called John Tucker wrote me an email and asked me if I wanted to co-drive with him and get a bit more first-hand experience of the sport, you know, from actually inside the car rather than trying to do everything virtually. And that really just sort of set me on this path of wanting to represent the sport for what it really is, rather than trying to do this kind of vision of what people maybe believe off-road racing is. And yeah, so that was really the sort of birth of this concept for Dirt Rally. And from that point onwards, it's just been a big battle to try and get to the sort of level of simulation required to make a car feel right when it's driving down a particularly narrow, windy gravel road in a forest like Hafren.
Well, it turns out that our surprise guest host, Ryan Champion's had a little bit of a go at it, hasn't he? How did that come about?
Yeah, so I think something that has been really, really cool over the last few years has been the way that Rally has kind of, or certainly the Rally community, has used Twitter as its way of communicating with one another. And, you know, Rally itself is kind of, it's now getting back into the mainstream media thanks to things like Chris getting wins and that kind of stuff. But, you know, ultimately we'd kind of gone a little bit underground, and Twitter was a really fantastic platform for people to start communicating with one another. And Ryan and I had chatted briefly about stuff, just like mostly inane stuff, but generally Group A Subarus and bits and bobs like that.
I wonder why that is.
And so I sort of suggested that if he's ever in the area, that he should come in and take a look at what we're working on, because we had a prototype that we were pretty happy with, but we were trying to get as many drivers in as possible to give us that first-hand feedback. And Ryan came in actually at the time where we were about to do the switch over to our brand new physics engine, which is what's just been released on Monday. And he gave us some really useful pointers on the way that our Mark II Escort was behaving, which was actually pretty much the whole reason why we set about making a new engine, because we couldn't get that Mark II Escort to feel right with the old engine. And we knew that people were going to be wanting to drive such an iconic car and have it on the lock stops and be using the throttle to steer the car around the corners. So that was really where it all started, and Ryan was there at that time, and if it wasn't for him, we probably wouldn't have got as far down the road as we have.
So I think you've been a bit too kind there, Paul. I know you had a lot of good drivers in at Codemasters as well to give you feedback, but I was impressed, Tony, when I walked in the office and there's all these pictures of iconic rally cars all over the walls, all the coolest rally cars. There's wheels, there's seats, there's all kinds of rally things in there, and it was great to see just how the guys were really buying into the sport and just trying to get the detail as perfect as possible. And having seen, you know, some of the footage, I haven't played the latest version, but some of the footage of the cars just looks incredible. The graphics and the detail on the cars is certainly impressive. So certainly a great job you've done there, Paul, you and your team.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, we've been really fortunate from a graphical standpoint, where Dirt 3 was one of the industry leading games back in 2011, you know, graphically, and we've been able to build on that platform over the last few years with incremental improvements, and it actually gave us a bit of headway, which enabled us to spend pretty much the last year and a half, maybe 2 years, working on what the game actually felt like and how those cars drove and how they reacted with the loose surface, which is something that all other racing games don't really have to worry about. They've got nice, beautiful, smooth tarmac to drive on, whereas, you know, the changing conditions, the different densities of gravel, they're all things that we've tried to capture as accurately as possible to make this feel right.
Yeah, and I think that just shows how much detail you've gone into. Like you said, changing the physical engine to make the handling different, the different depths of gravel. I know you've looked into all these things. And you're really keen to get feedback on the game as well. So tell us a little bit about what's going to happen going forwards with Dirt Rally now.
Yeah, so we are right at the beginning of what we're... Well, it's called Early Access, essentially. So if you have a semi-decent PC gaming computer, you should be able to download this game through Steam, and you'll become part of this early access program. And it's a new thing that's been happening in the games industry over the last couple of years, where game developers can essentially get very early feedback from people playing the game, and they're able to shape the game and act on that feedback, so that when the game's actually ready for its full release, the community have been fully involved in the development and the processes involved. So we as game developers in the past used to spend 18 months, 2 years building up fantastically expensive titles and packaging it all up, putting it on a disc so that people could take that disc home and play it on their consoles. But if there was anything wrong with that game, or there was something that people didn't like, there wasn't a great deal we could do to change it, because we were busy off working on the next game in the series. Whereas with this, we're kind of opening up the door to people to play the game while it's still fresh, and while people can still have input and give us that feedback. Because, you know, while I'm confident that what we've done is one of the best rally driving experiences ever made, there's still things that we'd like to improve, and we want to know what people think about the experience. And that's people from everywhere, not just rally drivers, but, you know, the whole fan base of rally fans out there who want that experience of driving a car through a forest, and don't want anyone to sort of hold them back with crazy kind of arcade physics, I guess.
Yeah, and that's fantastic to hear just how involved you're getting with the people who are actually going to play the game. And I was watching, as we talked about last night, I was watching through, I think it's the Twitch app, and you can actually see people playing the game and get live feedback, really, from what their experience is.
Yeah, this is the first game that I've released which where Twitch has been available. It didn't really exist back in 2011, and it's been cringeworthy at times, but also amazing fun, just kind of voyeuristically watching people Twitch feeds where they're live streaming what they're doing in the game, and some guys are talking while they're doing it, some guys are just fully focused on the game and listening to me co-driving. But it's been really, really interesting watching people thoroughly enjoying themselves and finding that the challenge that we've presented them is something that they're willing to take up. You know, there's always been this concern in the games industry that if you give people a hard game, they'll just walk away from it and go and play something else. But, you know, I've always been a firm believer in the fact that if you give people something that they can get their teeth into, and always give them a sense of intuitiveness and you know, a chance that they're going to get better, and that sense really comes through, then people will buy into it and they'll really appreciate it.
Paul? If I can just ask something, obviously we've gone from describing the game perhaps as an arcade simulator, or rather an arcade type game, now to a simulator. And obviously the big simulator that went head to head with you guys back in the day was Richard Burns, which is still played to this day, and there's still people developing that game and still adding to it to this day on online with PCs and things like that. Did that form a little bit of inspiration as well?
Look, absolutely. So I'm not going to say that we set out to make Richard Burns Rally 2, because that's not what we're about. My brief to the team was to make the best rally game ever made. And right now, I think we're very, very much on the path to doing that. Now, Richard Burns Rally is revered by the sim racing community for its challenge. I think first and foremost, its vehicle dynamics are fantastic, but I think they didn't get the chance to accurately simulate the surface perhaps as well as we've been able to with the new technology that we've been investing in. But I think it's been very interesting seeing people say that they feel that it's Richard Burns Rally 2 that we've made. It has kind of filled that role for those guys, but at the same time, you know, I think we've gone beyond where those guys were at, and obviously that was 10 years ago, so you have to hand it to them for the product that they made a decade ago. You know, was fantastic and absolutely rightly revered by this community, but but I hope that this is just the start of us picking up that baton and running with it.
Perfect. Listen, Paul, as ever, we're always running out of time on Total Rally, so we're all running out of time, but we do want to get more involved, and we'd like this to become maybe a bit more of a regular thing, maybe every few weeks or every few months when there's new things going on. If there's something you want to release, and we can put it out to the Total Rally community, because we have huge gamers who follow us as well and listen to the programme. So I know you mentioned before perhaps we might have a couple of things that we might be able to give away.
Yeah, so I've got a couple of codes for the game. So if you've got a decent gaming rig and you want to get hands on with this game, I've got a couple of codes that we can give away. So I don't know if you guys normally run competitions like this, or if you've got any preferred way of doing it. But you know, I can send you guys those codes and you can distribute them to the winners of your contest.
Fantastic. Well, we'll set something up for that. But would you be up for coming back, Paul, and letting us know what's going on and obviously how the game's developing a bit further down the line?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're in kind of just that beautiful period where we're starting to see people playing the game, but then the feedback's starting to roll in now. So we're quickly reacting to any bugs and issues that people have found, quickly trying to add some extra features in that people have been asking for, and then we'll be releasing more and more content as we go through the year. So we've got Pike's Peak coming up at the end of May, and then we're gonna be representing Panzerplatt with Germany tarmac stages.
Can I just ask one quick question before you, because we are going to have to go very very shortly. One common question which I'm sure you're sick of hearing, which has been tweeted to us 3 or 4 times, and me personally wants to know as well, what's the situation with regards to consoles moving forward?
Well, to be fair, we need to get through this early access period on PC first. What I will say is that the response from the community has been incredible so far, and every time somebody puts their money down on this product, it makes the conversation we need to have with the decision makers that little bit easier. So the more support we get, the easier that answer can become.
Fantastic. Well, listen, Total Rally listeners, you heard it from the man first. You want the new Dirt game, get involved, and we'll come up with an inventive way in order to hook some of you guys up on playing that. So listen, Paul, thank you so much for joining us on Total Rally tonight, and we will catch up soon, and as I say, we want to be part of it, and again, we can't wait to play it.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Take care. Thanks,
Paul. Cheers.
Bye.
Ryan, it's getting busier, Ryan. It's getting busier.
It is, and that's exciting stuff. You know, we said about Chris getting us all excited about rallying again, but Colin McRae Rally brought so many new people into the sport, or so much interest into the sport, and having seen the early footage from Dirt Rally, it looks awesome, and let's hope it does that all over again.
Yeah, absolutely. What we're going to do now, we're going to bring, all being well, we're going to add... As I say, I said we had another winner. We've got Paul Nagel, who's going to be joining us now. Obviously, another first-time winner in WRC. Chris Meek's co-driver. Welcome to Total Rally, Paul Nagel.
How's it going, Tony?
I'm all right. It's been a bit hectic. Because we had Chris at the beginning of the show. So you're kind of passing on the baton. You're wrapping up the show. You've effectively been bookends in Total Rally tonight. So thank you for joining us towards the end of the programme.
No problem.
So we've got guest host Ryan Champion, who I think you know as well. And I know Ryan wants to ask you a few things about what really went on in the car on that last day. Ryan?
Yeah, good evening, Paul. Good to speak to you.
Good evening, Ryan.
You obviously were in a fairly unique position throughout the rally, you know, one of having a big lead, which is pretty unheard of in WRC terms. And, you know, what input do you have in controlling Chris at that point? Do you just let him get on and drive his own rally? How much input do you have in controlling him?
I suppose after the first day when we were leading, nothing we never spoke about. we were leading the rally, and we never put in our head that we were going to win the rally all day Friday and all day Saturday. When Mads and Yari were catches, or not catches, was taking time out of us on Saturday, I suppose we had to dig deep for the last stage on Saturday evening to put in a good big time. And controlling Chris wouldn't be, you don't have to control him, he can look after himself, but some of the pace notes and some of the corners where we maybe had him had dislike in the first run, or the nose wasn't perfect, I'd kind of maybe control him there a bit with a couple of slides and bits like that. But he was in control all weekend. There was never a moment that you felt inside in the car that he wasn't listening or was overdriving. And for some reason, we both said it on Sunday morning going out to El Condor that today feels way more relaxed than previous day. And going out there, you just felt it was going to happen that day with a good lead. El Condor was a stage that was very tricky, but we knew it was narrow, tight, twisty, and if we kept out of trouble, Mads would not have got near us. So Sunday was an enjoyable day, and I think it was probably more enjoyable for us than most people home in Ireland, UK, because they were all so nervous and worried and waiting for the final corner and everything. But for us, it felt Sunday was enjoyable, where Saturday was definitely intense.
Yeah, you definitely had us all on the edge of our seats, or I was actually listening to the radio in the car and parked at the side of the road listening. So yeah, I'm sure everybody had nervous moments, but fantastic for you to get the first win, and I'm sure a relief in some ways. What changes do you see in Chris? I mean, you first sat with him in 2007. How have things changed since then?
Well, both of us have grown up and moved on and matured, and I suppose we haven't been to Barbados. You're going there next week. And the RC was a great stepping stone to do that in 2009, and matured up along in with the Mini, and how the whole thing at Mini was dealt with. We were left down, and you learned from that, and you grew from that as well. And obviously, we didn't do much in 12 and 13. I was in with Craig and did a couple of rallies with Andreas. But to be in a full factory season for a full year, to get to see all the rallies, to learn the team, and to be involved with such a group of people that have done it all, when it started this year, you started Monte Carlo, everything felt normal, and I think two of us have progressed that way. And the first couple of rallies didn't go according to plan, but the speed was there, and we had fastest times in every rally. It just needed a bit of consistency and put all the pieces of the jigsaw together, and thankfully this last weekend it all fitted and it worked perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, you've obviously got a fantastic working relationship now, and you know each other very, very well. And from that point of view, do you just see it carrying on throughout the year? You know, how do you see the rest of the year planning out now?
Going to Portugal, nothing has changed, because I think we went to the frame of mind in Mexico where kind of went back to basics. We made checked them on the video once, and go and do what we do best and drive the car and call the pace. And don't be over analysing, don't be doing videos after videos, and that's going to be just the way we're going to go for the rest of the season, because Argentina was a brand new rally, Portugal is a new rally, blank page, Sardinia 60% of the rally is new, Poland is 95% of the rally is new. So that's the first half of the year, and all it's going to be new for everybody. So the same approach will be this, what we've done in Argentina, and hopefully we get similar results or podiums and top fives where we'd be looking for from that sort of targets for the next couple of rallies.
Well, it's certainly fantastic you've got that first World Championship win on the board, and you're the first Irish winning co-driver since Ronan McNamee alongside Pentti Rickola, no less.
Yeah, that's 1989 in the RAC, Ronan won it, yeah, so it's a long time waiting. So it's fantastic for me, and fantastic for all the people home here in Ireland, and all the co-drivers out there that do the WRC 2 European Championship, and they all follow up along, and it's a long, hard road, but it's great, and it's great support for Ireland, and for me it's a dream come true, really.
Well, thanks for joining us tonight on Total Rally. Tony, have you any questions before we let Paul go?
No. Honestly, we'd love to get Paul back for his own show, to be perfectly honest with you, because you've been bookend at the end. Chris was really open with us, and Elvin was quite open with us, and then it's just been one of those shows. But Paul, really, really do appreciate you joining us, mate. And as I say, as we said to both to Chris and to Elvin, we were all shouting for you. I think every note that you delivered when we were watching the car, me and my other half, I think we were turning, we were out watching it, eating dinner, and we were sat there, and we were leaning in our seats listening to your notes just to support you any way we could. But again, very, very well done, and hopefully we will talk to you again very, very soon, and hopefully it'll be another win that we're talking to you about.
No problem. Thanks a million, Tony, and thanks, Ryan.
Thanks for joining us.
Take care of yourself. Thank you.
No matter.
Bye.
Ryan, believe it or not, that's the end of Total Rally.
Well, we've certainly had a busy evening, but what a fantastic evening. You know, I think we really had a fantastic feel for Argentina and what it meant to Chris and to Paul and also to Elvin. And let's not forget Dan. I don't think we've mentioned Dan tonight, and Dan did a great job on the notes alongside Elvin, so congratulations to Dan Barrett as well. Fantastic to hear about that British success, and let's hope the Codemasters can do the business and get rallying out to new people.
It all kind of fitted together quite nicely, didn't it? You know, when you think about it, you know, the last kind of hoo-ha of games, I love that word, hoo-ha, of games was when Colin was really big, and then obviously Richard released his game as well. So maybe, just maybe, the timing of all this might just be perfect.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. And like you said, I think a lot of the gamers thought Colin McRae was a fictional character, you know, when they came into or had an interesting rallying through the game, if you like, and that proved just how strong the game was. And obviously, within rallying, Colin had such a iconic identity and such an inspirational character. But yeah, the two met somewhere in the middle. So like you said, let's hope it can
absolutely
happen again.
Listen, Ryan, it's been a joy. You will be back very soon with us, and thank you for joining us tonight. You've been a perfect guest host. And we'll probably see you next week, come to think of it. Thanks for joining us, Ryan. I'll speak to you later.
You're welcome. Good
take
to
care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What a busy Total Rally. It's been a joy tonight. It's been probably one of my favourite programmes. It's been hectic, and it helps having a very informative guest host as well, as all our guest hosts have been. But a couple of little bits of news just to wrap up. The R5 Skoda won on its debut, Jan Kopecky. Also, the DMAC Drive lineup has been announced for this season, and there's a couple of Brits in there as well. Tom Cave and Gus Greensmith is also there. So anyway, it's all been a bit British tonight. I do appreciate that for our overseas listeners, but I'm sure you can allow us this one. Again, thank you so much for joining us on Total Rally. You know where we live. It's at Total Rally. And you know where I live, at Tony Simpson 74. And we will figure out a very, very clever way to give out these gaming codes for you to get involved with there. But get involved anyway. Get on Twitter. Let's promote it. Let's get this game released. Thank you. My name's been Tony Simpson. Good night. God bless.